Please keep your songbooks open to page number 340. Just a moment, we'll be singing that song as a means of invitation for all those who might need to make their life right with God. If you have any questions about the things you're about to hear, we'd be more than happy. Sit down with you with an open Bible and an open mind and come to your God, saith the Lord. Today, I would like to do a very simplistic lesson, but a lesson I believe that is very needful for us to understand. There's a reason that God put us here on this earth. There's a reason that God gave us life and breath and all things. And there's a reason why he sent his son to come to this earth and to die. And those two reasons are joined together in order for us to know why we are here. And I want to talk about and ask the question, how does the gospel spread? How does the gospel message spread, that is the message that can give man the ability to obtain eternal life? We need to know how that message needs to be spread. How does it get spread? And we want to answer that question today, this morning and this evening. We want to use as our text this morning, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 9. In Isaiah in chapter 11, verse 9, the scripture says, They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now again, notice that the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. And so what we see here is the gospel is for all men. The gospel is not a message that is for a select few. It is not for the elect. It is not for those who are of higher education, those who are more noble, more those who have a greater position in life. The gospel is for every person of any nationality, ethnic background, male or female, whatever their culture is, whatever their understanding is. The gospel message is a message that all men need to hear. The gospel is for all men. Isaiah 11 pictures Christ's rule for the salvation of all nations. The kingdom of truth, of righteousness and peace. That's what God designed the kingdom to be, and that is exactly what the kingdom is. It's a kingdom of truth, it's a kingdom of eternal righteousness, and it's a kingdom of peace that can be joined between God and man. And it is a message that must cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. As the waters cover the sea, this message is to go out to all of the earth. You know, it's interesting that God would use the water as an analogy for the gospel spreading, because 3/4 of the earth is covered by water. And so we understand that concept. That's how far and wide this gospel needs to go. God is the origin of the plan of salvation. And God used the human agency to reveal the spread of the gospel. And the work of spreading the gospel continues to the end of time. And everyone can and must help. And so what we're going to do in this lesson is we're going to look at these points. We're going to be looking at the points of the origin of the plan of salvation. And then we're going to look at the human agency that is revealed in the scripture and how this gets spread. And then we're going to look at the work of spreading the gospel and how it began in the first century and how it will continue until man on earth ends. And then we're going to look at every one of us who wear God's son's name. We have a responsibility and a duty in this concept. And so I want you to keep your Bibles open, because we're going to read a lot of scripture. I'm going to let the scripture tell the story, and I'm just going to add some things as we go along. But I'm going to let the scripture tell us how the gospel spreads in our time. We begin by the origin. This is a plan that was hidden in God's mind until he fully revealed it. This was a plan that was created before time began, that God let that plan out little by little. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 11, in verse 33 through 36, then none of us can know the mind of God. Let's see. The Bible says, all the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his riches and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become the Lord's counselor? We need to understand that we do not have the ability, nor do we have the ability today, to know the mind of God. I don't know what's in God's mind. I don't know what God purpose unless he revealed that to us. And so the scriptures reveal to us the mind of the Lord. He goes on to say, for who has first given to him, or shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him and to him, all things of him must be glory forever. Amen. I'm not God's counselor. I can't explain things better than God. I'm just a messenger. Any preacher of the gospel cannot say it better than God. They are not the authority. They are not the one who this message originated from. Every word that men claim to be from God has to be confirmed by his word. And so we need to understand that through him or by him do we have the knowledge and the origin of this message. The Bible would go on to add that this message that was hidden was a mystery revealed. Now again, we need to understand words. Mystery in our language means something that is hidden, something that's mysterious. But in the New Testament Greek, the word mystery means something that has been revealed, something that has been made known. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, Paul wrote at the end of his letter to the church of Rome, he said, now that he who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Notice, the revelation of the mystery, that it was kept secret for a time, that all that was revealed at once. There was a time when that revelation was a mystery, but now that mystery has been made known. How do I know? Look at the next verse. In verse number 26, Paul would say, but now has been made manifest. What does that word manifest mean? It means to make known. He has made known something. By the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for the obedience to the faith. Why did God make it known? Why did he manifest it? For the obedience to the faith. God wanted this message to be known so men could obey it, so men could do what that message said. And so God revealed it. He made it known. He manifested it. And now the mystery has been revealed. You know, men can know what the mystery is. It's no longer hidden. It's no longer something that's secret. It's something that all men can know if they will open their mind, they'll open the Bible. The plan was revealed in Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. John says that God's grace and truth came through Christ. And his fullness we have all received, grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now all men, even today, in most religious circles, believe that grace is absolutely necessary and must be present and is the reason that men are saved. And that's true. Without God's grace, no man would be saved. But notice, it wasn't just grace. Grace and truth. Grace and truth were tied together. Yes, we need man. God needs, man needs God's grace. But he also needs God's truth. And God's truth is revealed through God's grace. God's grace reveals what the truth is. And that truth was revealed through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was the centerpiece of God's plan. He was the one that God determined would bring this plan to fruition. It was through him that all would be brought together and the remedy that sinful men needed would be seen in Jesus Christ. And that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It was revealed in him. And as God speaks through his Son, in the Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 1 through 3. Now this is indeed an important scripture, because what these scriptures do is give credentials. Now what are credentials? Credentials are things that people have to give authority and to give precedence to their position. And that, you know, it's like people who are an ambassador for our nation. They have credentials. They have credentials that have been given to them by the President of the United States to be an ambassador, to be a spokesperson for our country. And so they have credentials because they have been given to them. Now, Jesus had some credentials. And these credentials make him the authority to speak for God. In Hebrews 1 it says that in God who at various times, in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Now there was a time in our existence that God spoke directly to man like I'm speaking to you. That God spoke directly to them. There was a time when God did that. But today you'll hear people say that God speaks to them, though. God doesn't speak that way today. He doesn't speak to you here. He doesn't speak to you in visions and dreams. There was a time he did that, but not now. And in these last days, now the word last day refers to a particular dispensation of time. And the last days are what we are living in. This is the last dispensation of time. Now I want you to think about that, because many of our religious friends believe that there's another period of time that's coming. They believe there's going to be 1,000 years on earth. And if there's another 1,000 years on earth, then that would be another time period. But the Bible says these are the last days. And in these last days, he is spoken to us by his Son. Now there is only one person. Now we need to understand this, and the world needs to understand this. There is only one person who speaks for God. The Pope doesn't speak for God. No council speaks for God. No group of churches speak for God. No religious hierarchy speaks for God. The only one who God authorized to speak in his name is his Son. Now why did he give that particular authority to only his Son? Why did he not put that in other people? Why did he just put it in his Son? Well, because of his credentials. Look at his credentials. Whom he also appointed heir of all things. The first credential is that he is heir of all things. That means everything that was created, everything your eye can see. God's Son is heir of that. It belongs to him. Next, through my Son, he made the world. Everything your physical eye can see, everything that you can read about, Jesus Christ was the one who created it. He was the one behind it. And so not only was the heir of all things, he created all things. But then it goes on in the next verse. It says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. When men saw the Son, they saw the closest that they would ever get to seeing God. He was in the express image of his person, in the brightness of his glory. Remember when Thomas asked the Lord in John 14, he said, show us the Father and it will suffice. Thomas said, just show us the Father and it will suffice for us. And remember Jesus said to him in verse 9, he said, Thomas, have I been with you so long that you still don't understand? He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now a lot of people misquote that scripture by saying that God and the Father are the same. No, that's not what that means. What that means is when you see God's Son, you will see the essence of deity. You will see what deity is, his character. It emphasizes God. His character is what God's all about. That's who God is. When you saw Jesus, you saw the essence and character of deity. That's what it looks like. And it goes on to say, and uphold all things by the word of his power. Everything, you know why this world keeps spinning? You know why you keep breathing air? It's because God allows it. God sustains our life by his word. He spoke the word of existence, and when it ends, he will speak it out of existence. You see, everything that sustains our life is supported by God's word. And then it adds, when he had himself purged our sin. Purged our sin, that means cleansed us. Cleansed us from unrighteousness. Good son did that. He did that when he died on the cross. And last, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That means he is on the throne at the right hand of God. That's a position of power and authority. Now let me ask you something. Who has credentials that can match Christ? Who can have greater credentials to speak for God than his son? You know anybody? You know anybody can match those credentials? Nobody. Not the Pope. Not the Council of 12 Apostles of the Latter-day Saints. Not some synod. Not some council. Not the organization of churches, the national organization of churches. None of them, none of them have the credentials that Jesus has. That's why he is the best person to speak for God. Now, if he's God's spokesperson and he is, how am I going to know what he said? How am I going to know what his message is? Full and fine revelation was by the Holy Spirit. You see, God sent the message through the Holy Spirit. John 3:34, for whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The final revelation was by the Holy Spirit. How do you and I know what God thinks on any subject? How do I know what God thinks about worship? Because I know what John 4:24 says. John 4:24 says, God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. How do I know that a man needs to be baptized in order to be saved? Because the Spirit revealed it in Acts 2:38. You see, I can know because the Spirit revealed that to me. Now, full and fine revelation, the Spirit guided the apostles to the memory of Jesus' teaching. Notice, this is a private conversation that takes place in John 16 prior to Jesus' arrest and his trials and his crucifixion. And he tells them that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You know, the Holy Spirit will not just reveal to them things that are yet to come. He will remind them of things that Jesus had taught them while he was here. You remember when he was transfigured before Peter, James, and John in Matthew chapter 17? He says, don't you tell anyone about this until after my resurrection. Don't tell anybody about these events until after. Now why did he not want that known until after his resurrection? Because after his resurrection, it would all come together for them. They would begin to understand the significance of who he was. Now notice it says, he would bring them into, he would teach you all things. All things means all things. There's nothing left out. Everything that you and I need to know in order to get from here to heaven, God revealed it by the work of the Holy Spirit. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now notice, Jesus said that he will guide them into all truth. And yet we have been today the code that God speaks to them. That God, you would hear, if you listen to some of the people on the radio, they would tell you that God still reveals, he's still revealing today. God is not yet done revealing his will to me. God doesn't agree with this. What does it mean, guide you into all truth? If you've been given all truth, what's left? You see, you have to add to that truth. To have something else, you've got to add to all truth. But if you add to all truth, it didn't come from God. You see, that's the beauty of it. I don't have to wonder where it came from, because you know what, I'll give you a little side information here. If you would listen to everything that people tell you that God told them, you know one thing they all have in common of whatever they were told? It's not in here. Not one thing they were told was ever found in here. You know what that makes it? That makes it a word of men and not the word of God. All that God wanted you to know, all that God wanted me to know, he put right here. He made it very simple. If I want to know what God believes on any subject, all I got to do is open his book. This tells me all that God wants me to know. And you know what? If God didn't tell me something, don't worry about it. It is dinosaurs on the earth. I don't know what. I don't know. I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. Where did King's wife come from? I thought I asked him one time, I was about to ask, he says, well, God put every kind of animal in the ark, with the termites. I'm not going to worry about the things that God hasn't told me. You know what I'm going to try to worry about? What he has told me. You know what? That's enough. This is enough, isn't it? This is enough to know without trying to find out things he didn't tell me. You know, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to God. You know, why didn't God tell us? Why didn't he tell us more about the origin of Satan? I think I know the answer to that. You know why God didn't tell us more about the origin of Satan? He wouldn't help you beat him. He wouldn't help you defeat him. If I knew more about his origin, how would that help me defeat him? You know what he did tell me about him? He told me what his purpose is. Told me what his aim is. Told me what his, how his tactics are. And he told me how I can beat him. He's not much more important than that. And where he came from. See, we just need to focus on what he's told us. Now, the apostles spoke and then wrote the truth. They revealed the kingdom. Remember in Matthew chapter 16? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. What do keys do? They unlock things. You put a key in your door in your home, what does it do when you put the key in the lock? It unlocks it, you go in your house. It unlocks it. What were the keys of the kingdom? Right here. What did Peter preach on the day of Pentecost? The gospel. What did he preach to Cornelius in Acts 2? The gospel. What did God's son say to Peter? I'll give you the key. What did Peter do with the key? He opened the door to the Jews, then he opened the door to the Gentiles. Just like God's plan said. Keys unlocked. You can't find the kingdom without the key. What do you think about that? People say, well, I love the church, but I don't read the Bible. How are you going to get in? How are you going to get in if you don't have the key? You've got to have the key in order to get in. In 1 Corinthians, the word of God are his commandments. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of God. These are not Paul's philosophy. These are not Mark's theory. These are not Moses' opinions. These are the commandments of God. You know, when you and I read the Bible, it's just like God telling us himself what he wants. When you're reading this, you're talking to God. God's talking to you. That's the kind of authority this book has. These are the commandments of God. Now, what about all those men that say, you don't have to do this? They do certain things and say, well, you don't have to do it that way. Well, you know what that means? That means that I don't have to do the commandments of God. If these are the commandments of God, and I don't have to do that, then I don't have to follow the commandments of God. How is that going to work? That's not going to work too well. That's not going to work. Same word spoken and written. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you were taught, whether by our word or by our epistle. They spoke it, and then they wrote it. And what they spoke was the same thing they wrote. They didn't speak one thing in the first century and then write something else for everybody else. They spoke the same thing they wrote. And you know why they both spoke and wrote the same thing? Because both were led by the Holy Spirit. That's why they could speak and write the same thing, because they were directed by the same Spirit. The apostles led the way in spreading the gospel into all the world. The Bible says in Acts 1 verse 8, that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And you know what? If you read the biblical account of that, it follows this pattern. It follows to Jerusalem, to Judea, then Samaria, and then to the innermost parts of the earth. The gospel went in that direction. That's how the gospel spread. To Jerusalem, to Judea, then Samaria, and then throughout the world. Now, what does all that mean? That means that God intended the gospel to go out to all the world. Not just to Jews, not just a select section of the world, but to all the world. It is going to be preached to every creature. Now, others helped reveal and spread the word. In Ephesians 4:11, the gospel revealed and perpetuated. And he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, the apostles and prophets, they're no longer here. The apostles did their work. The prophets did their work. We still have their work because we still have this. But notice the next group, some evangelists. That's what I am. I'm an evangelist. I'm a minister. I'm a preacher. That's what I am. And all I do is tell the message. That's what my job is, to spread the good news. And then some to be pastors. That's not a preacher. A pastor is an elder. It's a presbyter. It's an overseer. It's an elder. That's what a pastor is. And then there are a select group of men. Many meet their qualifications. 10 to 15 in Titus 1. And then you have some teachers. Some people are instructors. Some people that teach. I do some of that. Some of you do some of that. We all have the ability to do that and have the responsibility to do it. And we're going to see that later on in this lesson. And so God gave all these different roles to get this job done. He gave all these functions in order that the gospel word would be spread. The gospel message is scorned by many. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, Spirit is the power of God. So the message of the cross is for, a lot of people think the Bible's foolishness. They think it's ridiculous. They think it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It doesn't fit the time. It's out of sync. It doesn't care. It hasn't caught up with the time. It's okay. Even in the first century, God said some people thought the Bible was foolish. Why? Because they didn't want to adhere to it. But God says this is God's power to save. But who knows more about it, God or me? Now, what is the scope of the Great Commission? If Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world. All nations, all people, all walks of life are given the opportunity of hearing the gospel until the end. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. Until time ends on this earth, we are to spread this message. We are to tell all men about the gospel and its power to save. The gospel message has been preserved for all time. Now, this is the passage that I talked about in my radio program this morning. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Therefore, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tank, to stir you up by reminding you. Now, what do you mean to remind you always of these things? Present truth. You know what? The first time that I remember hearing about Noah the Ark, I was 5 years old in Bible class. Did you ever outgrow that story? Did you ever outgrow the need to understand the principles of that story? What about the taking of Abraham offering Isaac on the altar? Do you ever grow out of not knowing to need that, to understand that story and its principles? What about Jericho being taken by them walking around the wall for 6 days and then 7 days, walking around it 7 times? Do you ever outgrow the need to be reminded of that? Do I need to be reminded continually of the death and the burial of the resurrection of Christ? Is that something I just outgrow that I don't need to hear about anymore? And by the way, why did we do this every first day of the week? You know what I had a fellow tell me some years back? He said, well, if you do it every week, it loses its significance. How? Why did God so institute this supper? Because he knew we were forgetful. He knew we had a tendency to forget. And you know what? As my exhibit A, what about Israel? Did they have a tendency to forget? They crossed the Red Sea. God opened the Red Sea and made dry land appear in the middle and led them across and then brought the sea back together again and destroyed the enemy. And a few days later, they're grumbling at God for water. If I'd have been God, I'd have taken them back and put them in the Red Sea. But you see, they forgot. Because that's what men do. Men forget. Men don't have, they have the tendency not to remember. To forget what God said. You know, I've told you for years, I don't have a new message. There's nothing new that I'm going to tell you. And this story I'm telling you this morning, it's not new. You've all heard this story before. You all know that this is in there, but we need to be reminded so we don't forget our responsibilities in this process. We have a responsibility for this process to tell this story. Now Peter said, as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to remind you of these things that you got to get them.
Knowing that I surely must pull off my sin, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me.
Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my defeat. You know what? Someday, somebody else is going to be standing here besides me. Somebody else is going to be sitting where you're sitting. Somebody has to make sure that message doesn't get lost. Someone has to make sure that that message is not lost as time goes on. And we've got to continue reminding men and women of what God wants them to do and how they can please God. Special focus and training are needed. We need to become fishers of men. When Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea. And they were fishermen. Then he said, then follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I know some of you here like to fish. But you know what? People who are really good fishermen, you know why they're good? Because they understand the craft. They understand that you know something about the fish, and you know something about their habits, and you know about how they operate, like what depth of the water, when do they like it very cold, do they like it better hot, are they closer to the surface, when do they go deeper? And the more you know about the fish, the more advantage you have over the fish. And the better you do, the better chance you have of catching the fish. You know that? Well, the better we know men, and the better we move about bait, the better opportunity we'll have to catch them. You see, this is the only thing that can catch them spiritually. You know, I have books in my library. I have a book in my library called Evangelism 101. And it's this book. I bought it years ago. But you know what? As I read through that book, you know what I found out? There was nothing in that book that wasn't in here. Because you want evangelism 101? It's right here. You want to know how to catch men? You want to know how to draw and bring them to the Lord? You got to know this. You know what's sad today? Men have lost their confidence in this. They have started trying to use other ways in order to draw people to the cross. But there's only one thing that can draw them to the cross. I'm going to read you this. We're going to stop here for this morning. But I want to read one more passage in John chapter 6. And we're going to get to this passage probably next week. But I want you to look at those verses 44 and 45. So, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. How are you drawn to the Father? You are drawn to the Father by learning about Him. The knowledge of God will draw you to Him and to the cross. You can't be drawn there by chicken legs, by bingo, by the social gospel, by some gimmick. The thing that will draw you to the cross is the Word of God. Now, here's the catch. If men can't be drawn by this, they can't be drawn. If they won't be drawn by this, you can't reach them. And this is the only measure that God gave us to draw the sinner, is His Word. And if that won't do the trick, then they can't be drawn. You see, we need to be fishers of men. God made the apostles fishers of men, but now that responsibility falls upon us, and we must become fishers of men. Please take your song books out and turn to page number 340. If you're here and you're not a Christian, or you are a Christian, and you need to make some corrections in your life, We need to get back on the right track. We need to do things that God would have you to do as his children. We offer an invitation. This is not our invitation. This is not my invitation. This is the Lord's invitation. He is the one that's making it, and I'm just extending it. If you're here and you're in need of his help, if you're in need to obey his gospel, if you're in need to make correction in your life, we're here to help you do that. And if we can help you in any way, we bid you to come forward as together we stand.